Let me call this April 28th, 2016 meeting of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Chairman Noe.
Here.
Mayor Silverberg. Chairman Bulova.
Here.
Supervisor Blona. Board Member Fassette. Councilmember Way.
Here.
Mayor Silverthorne.
Here.
Councilmember Snyder. Councilmember Rochelle.
Here.
Senator Black. Delegate Hugo. Delegate Minshew. Mr. Garzinski. Ms. Bushu, Mayor Foreman, Ms. Cuervo,
here,
Mr. Horsley,
here.
Mr. Chairman, we do not have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Let me know when we do. But we do, so we cannot take up the minutes of the March meeting, so I will hand the floor to Valerie Pardo.
And I'm going to introduce David Roden. He's going to come and speak to us about the House Bill 599 evaluation process and the results for the fiscal year 2017 program, and try to answer any questions that you all might have.
All right. You got it? Okay. PowerPoint. Great. So basically, we're going to give a little background to the process, what we've done in the 2015-16 program, and then how that was changed for the 2017 program. Talking about the meetings we had with the localities and the 2020-2040 performance and ratings that are coming out of the 599 process and any next steps there might be. So just as a background on the legislative side of this, 599 was passed in 2012 by the General Assembly. It did mandate that VDOT evaluate at least 25 projects, significant projects in Northern Virginia, that had the condition of trying to reduce congestion and improve mobility during a homeland security event. That was the thrust of that particular legislation. Then a year later, HB 2313 came about, which gave a revenue stream to this organization, but also tied 70% of those revenues to the 599 rating process. They also had to be in the regional transportation plan. So the first set of evaluations did not require that we include transit projects in that analysis, so that we only looked at highway projects for the 2015-16 program. But then in 2015, that legislation was amended to require transit projects to also be evaluated in the same way. In the years 2013 and 14, VDOT, the RPT, the CTB, NDTA, and NOVA localities all got together and tried to come up with a process to evaluate and rate these processes based on the legislative mandate. So we're using a detailed modeling process to assess the congestion and mobility, both in 2020 and 2040. We are including stakeholders and a peer review group from outside of Virginia to help advise that process and design it. We did develop performance measures and weights that, in cooperation with the stakeholders and NVTA, that ended up being a multimodal performance measure selection set where we had weights that were developed through a decision lens voting and weighting process. These are the performance measures that came out of that process. There are five that are congestion related and two for the mobility. The percentage you see next to each of those measures is the value that was the weight assigned to that measure from the voting and stakeholder involvement process. Many of these measures include both highway and transit elements. They're person-based, so congestion duration does have transit and highway-related impacts. Delay does as well. Obviously, congestion in automobiles does not. But congestion in transit vehicles does focus on transit. Transit crowding also focuses on transit. Accessibility to jobs includes both highway and transit elements and emergency mobility in the same way. So it includes a lot of overlapping considerations. The rating itself is a score that is generated looking at each of those seven performance measures, identifying the project that performed the best, generated the best benefits for that performance measure, and then awards 100 points for that particular measure. All the other projects that were nominated in that year are then rated against that particular project to get their relative score. Those scores are then multiplied by the weights, summed up, and that becomes the ratings. From the 2015-16 program, we had 37 projects that were nominated. Most are all highway or ITS type projects. NVTA, it incorporated that evaluation, those ratings, into their measures and their scoring process. And the ratings that were assigned to the NVTA score for the NVTA rating process was 35% for those years and those projects. Since then, for the 2017 program, we have incorporated the transit elements and are able to look at transit and highway projects on an equal footing. So in order to do this, we use the modeling tool to evaluate three large projects in the summer and fall of 2015. Those included 8-car trains for Metro Rail, a VRE extension to Haymarket, and a Potomac Yard station in Alexandria. Those are test cases we did just to see how the model performed. And the evaluation team felt it performed well enough to include it in this year's evaluation. So now we are looking at multimodal performance measures that include both highway and transit elements and are rated in the same way for both highway and transit components. In addition, this year we've moved to the 2015 CLRP and around 8.4 land use data from the Metropolitan Council of Governments. And that has, we're looking at years 2020 and 2040 for that as well. And just as information, that particular CLRP does include the Transform 66 projects inside and outside the Beltway. So those are part of the base analysis that's going into this year's evaluation. Unlike last year, we're removing all of the recommended or proposed projects from the CLRP, so they are taken out and then put back in one at a time. And we're looking at the difference between that common base and the performance of that particular project and the rating of that element. If there was a project that was resubmitted, and there were several, I think it's 6 or 7 that were resubmitted this year, we did use the evaluation process this and recalculated those scores based on the new information. These are the 24 projects that were nominated for 2017 and were evaluated this year. The locations of those projects are a map. I think you have it on your desk, perhaps, showing where those are located and what kind of sense those projects have. They compose 13 highway improvement projects, widening or other improvements. 6 of those are transit projects. 2 are constructing a new interchange. 1 ITS information and traffic management element. And then one of them is a pedestrian bike transit access type of project. In meeting with the localities, we talked about the applications and tried to understand the details of how it was designed. So we had meetings with them from February 16th to March 11th to go over the coding details, the actual number of lanes, the capacities, the speeds, the extents of each of these projects, and the overall impact area. How far afield would they consider the impacts of those projects to be considered? We did the modeling process after that and then came back to each of those organizations and showed them what the results of the modeling process were, described the process, showed them maps of how the volumes and the congestion changed as a result of the improvements, and the specific performance measures that went into the rating for those projects. We did not show them other agencies' projects, just their own. So we were going into more detail and asking them and had discussions with that we coded it right, that the results looked reasonable, and areas where we may need to do some improvements. We have done some of that and had a meeting with the NVTA Planning and Programming Committee on April 18th and then the Technical Advisory Committee on the 20th. And as a result of those, there are discussions with the localities and with these other two groups. We have made some adjustments and changes to the numbers that were originally presented to the stakeholders. This is a large number of projects and the seven performance measures and the ultimate score sorted by the project that gets its total score, the highest total score. That's for 2020. We have the same kind of numbers for 2040. And then we developed a comparison side by side that shows 2020 and 2040, the rankings of each of those projects, the scores that they receive from the 599 process, and how they relate to other projects in the same area. This number, these numbers will ultimately be presented by VDOT formally on April 30th to NVTA for consideration in the NVTA weighting process. So there's a whole other level of detail that's going to be used here to evaluate other kinds of measures, to look at cost-benefit kinds of information and things of that nature. And that's how it will proceed at this point. Any questions about what the VDOT process did?
Is
there, I see some of them have a very, very low qualities rating. Is there any sort of cutoff or turning point to this, or is it just because it's on the list that will be proposed?
So let me pick up a little bit on that. Because David's job is to give us these numbers. It's then our job to do something with those numbers. Monica, you want to talk about what the next steps?
Sure. So at the May 4th Planning and Programming Committee meeting, we will have the HB 599 results coupled with the authority's quantitative scores, because we have scores, MBTA scores that we analyze also. So we'll have that list. And then we'll have another list that shows the congestion reduction relative to cost ratio. And then finally, we'll have a staff recommendation on the projects that should be funded, or at least taken to the public comment period and public hearing that should be funded. But the intent is to take all 24 projects out for public comment and for the public hearing. But those are essentially the next step. The MBTA score combined is 55% of the total score, and the HB 599 is 45%.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yeah, Mr. Steiner.
If I recall, one of the pieces of legislation spoke to benefits flowing back, and will that be one of the things that we take a look at? In other words, there's a certain equity issue here that is one of the factors in addition to sort of the numbers that we see here. So
Mr. Snyder is speaking about the long-term benefits provision. The law states that every locality must receive their proportional share. In December of 2014, the authority adopted principles for assessing long-term benefits. The principles had several components to it. Number one, we would do it on a retrospective basis. So 10 years from the first programming cycle, we will go back and assess. 50% of the assessment is the location of the project, and the remaining is the trip origin and destination. And then the final component to that is that the projects that we're evaluating for long-term benefits, they must be complete. So we won't be doing a long-term benefit on a project that the authority has funded, but the project isn't complete just yet. Now, what the authority takes into consideration, and we'll talk more about this on Wednesday at your Planning and Programming Committee meeting, is that you take geographic balance and modal distribution into consideration also when determining which projects.
So this is one of several filters, a useful filter, but in data going into our ultimate decision-making,
yes,
which will include other filters,
yes,
and other considerations.
And I think the other thing that Monica didn't mention that's going to be relevant is, because we have something we're going to have to think about is, this is a one-year program. And ideally, we would be developing a six-year program, but the authority decided to do a one-year program this year so that we could build our first full six-year program on the next iteration of the transaction plan. So one of the other things that will come into play because of the time frame is the urgency piece, which actually at one time we had urgency was part of the 55%, and we removed it. I know there was some talk at the PPC meeting, and there'll probably be a lot more on next week about, there are some projects that may have scored high on this or by other measures, but which don't actually have the ability to spend any money at this time. So that those, we may end up deciding that some of those are they're great projects, but they're probably great projects for the FY18 six-year plan, because giving them money now wouldn't actually get them to proceed any faster. So that's another piece that's going to come into play.
Then there's an additional piece. Some of the projects that were submitted for the FY17 program were also submitted to the Commonwealth for the HB2 process. So we are trying to monitor that with being cognizant that the authority is actually last in the queue regarding adoption, so we have the ability to make some adjustments depending on how those projects fare.
Any questions? Excellent. David, thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else on this, Helen? Do you have for us? We have a quorum now, right? Excellent. So we can go back to the minutes of the March 10th meeting. I think those were sent out. You were the quorum. We weren't even sure if you were coming. Any comments or questions about the minutes from March 10th? Do you have a motion to approve?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry. Motion from Mrs. Bullock, a second from Mr. Snyder. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Excellent. Extension from Mr. Webb. Okay, we have some. We don't have any consent agenda, correct?
No.
Okay. So, approval of the public hearing date for the FY17 program. Ms. Beck.
Mr. Chairman, at the April 18th Planning and Programming Committee meeting, that committee recommended June 9th, which is regularly a scheduled authority meeting, as the date for the public hearing. But the public comment period would begin May 13th and end June 17th. But we are asking that you approve June 9th as the date for the public hearing.
Okay, yes.
I'm happy to put a motion on the table to approve that date.
Motion from Mrs. Bullivar, is her second.
Second.
Thank you. We'll go for this ritual now. Get a second. Any discussion on this? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. The approval of the NVTA testimony for the six-year plan, Monica.
So, Mr. Chairman, the Commonwealth is having a public hearing on Monday at the VDOT office on the draft six-year improvement program. You have the testimony in your packet. We also highlighted what were some of the changes from the previous years. And I wanted to note that the RJAC met this afternoon, and there is a recommendation to strike the last bullet regarding the process from your testimony, because it was a carryover from 2011, 2012, 2013, and we continue to carry that over.
Any discussions or questions on this? One thing I'll just add is VDOT CTB has asked me once again to sit on the panel to receive testimony. This will be a public hearing on the VDOT six-year plan, but it's sort of in the interest of emphasizing the partnership between the CTB and the NVTA, they've asked me as chairman to be on that panel for the last few years. And to that end, just so folks know, it used to be that I would get up and read all six pages of this, and then I would ask for personal privilege to read all six pages of Prince William County's testimony. But because I sit at the dais now, I saved everyone the time and I just submitted it in writing. If anyone really feels the need to come and read it, you can try to persuade me. Hearing none, okay, great. Any other comments on this? Okay. Is there a motion to approve this with the one amendment that Ms. Backman made?
Move to approve.
Ms. Bulova, second from Ms. Rischel. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Excellent. Thank you. Mr. Mitchell, welcome. Just in time for our last action item.
I love these 65 meeting times. It makes me appreciate the need for road improvements.
we're just rocking and rolling today. We have a CMAQ RSVP request for Fairfax County.
Mr. Chairman, I've asked Noel Dominguez, the chair of the RJAC, to speak to this request.
Mr. Chairman, there are a couple of requests in here, and some are info items, so I'll try to combine them all together. On March 31st, Fairfax County requested several reallocations. They requested 20.7 transfer of CMAQ funds from the Baden Ramp project to the I-66 outside TMP congestion mitigation project, as well as 2.24 in RSTP funds also from the same two projects. The Baden Ramp project is part of the Transform I-66 project, as is TMP. So this just allows the funds to be used for the same general purpose, or for the same two parts of the same large project. We also asked for a transfer of $7 million in RSTP funds from the Jones Brown's Connector project to the Transform 66 TMP project. This afternoon, there was an amended request. We realized we needed another $5 million of one of those. So this afternoon, the JAC approved an additional $5 million transfer from the GMU, or from the Baden Ramp project to 66 TMP. The 66 TMP falls part of the larger I-66 after the Beltway project. It is a new project for CMAQ RST purposes, so it does require approval by the authority.
Do we have a blue item then?
Yes, and those, all of those transfers are included in the all the things I just spoke of are on the white sheet as well as on the blue sheet.
Chairman, since these are all Fairfax County items, I would be glad to move that the reallocation of congestion mitigation and air quality and regional surface transportation program funds for Fairfax County be approved.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Bulova, second by Mr. Fassett. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. Dominguez. Planning Program Committee report is on me. Most of the, I guess I don't have much of a way of a report because most of the meeting was dedicated to getting the presentation that VDOT gave us on the HB 599 scores a bit ago. I will let folks know the next PPC meeting is actually this Wednesday, so 6 days from now at 10 a.m. in this room.
Yeah.
And jump on me if I say it wrong, Monica. The main purpose of this meeting, this is the one that will probably get everyone's attention. We'll be getting the staff's presentation on the other 55% of the total project score. What else?
And a recommendation for on the project or the candidate projects that should be funded so that you can take that out for a public hearing and for your public comment period. So those are the two items, and we will ask planning and programming to make a recommendation to the authority on which project. So the what staff presents may change depending on the feedback we hear from the planning and programming committee. We will ask that committee to make a recommendation to the authority for your May 12th meeting on which projects should be candidate projects for funding and which should not be candidate projects at this particular funding cycle.
And I'll just remind folks that we encourage everyone who is able to come and participate in the PPC meetings. The rule going back to the PIWG days was that everyone's at the table and everyone gets to participate. We do have sort of official members, but we always do our recommendations by consensus. So everyone who's at the meeting from the authority gets to participate. And if there's a jurisdiction that the authority member can't be here, we encourage you to have a staff person here, so that they can participate on behalf of the jurisdiction on that.
And if I could, Mr. Chairman, based on the May 12th action of the authority to take the project list out for public comment, with the public comment period ending June 17th, the Planning and Programming Committee will meet again June 28th. And at that meeting, we will ask the committee to make a final recommendation to the authority.
Any questions on that? I don't see Mr. Boyce here. Do anything from the TAC that we need to know?
No, they just had the roughly the same presentation that you just saw regarding the HB 599 results.
Mr. Longhi, anything you need to share with us tonight?
Nothing to add to the written staff report.
Ms. Backman.
So, Mr. Chairman, the one thing I would like to call to your attention, it's another blue-sheeted item. It's regarding changes to the CMAQ and RSTP allocations for fiscal year 2017 through 2022. At your March meeting, you adopted essentially the programming recommendations for straw man for fiscal year 2022. It was based on estimates, but we've heard back from the state regarding some of the more real numbers. And what we've been told that there is an increase in regional surface transportation programming funding and CMAQ PM 2.5 funding, but there is a decrease in CMAQ money. So we need to, for the purposes of getting everything processed and allocated for the draft 6-year program, we need to make up for the deficit in CMAQ monies. VDOT has stated that they need this information by May the 6th. So we had an RJAC meeting this afternoon. We think we have a solid plan on going how to go about that, but this is this afternoon's RJAC meeting was the first time that localities and agencies really got to talk about the deadlines and the criteria, or the criteria, if you will. So what I am proposing is that we have two staffers working on the recommendations on how to compensate for the deficit. I will send the authority an email on Tuesday asking if anyone has any issues, and asking if you could let me know by Thursday, May the 5th, so that we can turn it over to VDOT on Friday, May the 6th. There's also a surplus in RSTP. The surplus we have a little more time on. We're being told by the state that they need the programming recommendations for the surplus funding by June the 3rd. So we want to work with the RJAC a little more to make sure that everyone can adequately and appropriately program the surplus money, because in some cases people have to go back to their council and boards to get governing body approvals.
Any questions on that? Any questions from Ms. Backman? The one thing I was going to ask was, we approved the date of the public hearing. Next month, we're going to approve the project list to be advertised for that public
hearing.
I seem to recall that with the FY15-16 plan, we ran into a problem that the way our meeting schedule played out, we couldn't, by the time that we have to advertise 30 days in advance, but there were only 28 days between the meetings. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we
ended up having to run the advertisement without a vote from the authority authorizing you to run the advertisement.
Right.
And then, blessedly, we authorized exactly what you had already done. So we didn't have to do it again.
So because we're taking all 24 projects out for public comment per your action tonight, we have the advertisement ready. I think it's running tonight or tomorrow.
Next week.
But we have the advertisement ready so that we can make the deadlines.
Okay, so our action tonight is sufficient to allow you to do the advertising.
Yes.
That's what I was looking for. Yes. Any other questions? Okay. One thing I wanted to just remind folks, we talked a little bit about this in the last meeting. So now that we have the window of time during which we're going to have the public comment period open, if you're we encourage jurisdictions to hold town hall meetings about the program so that we can give more opportunity for direct citizen input prior to the public hearing. What we've heard, and this goes back to 2007, frankly, is a lot of people don't want to have to drive to a single location. We're a pretty big region geographically. So giving people opportunity to make comments and get questions answered and see information about it in their home jurisdiction is helpful. If your jurisdiction wants to do that, please let us know when you're doing it, and NVTA staff will make themselves available to make the presentation or be available for questions. Some jurisdictions have in the past asked that I be there as chairman, which I'm happy to do as long as we schedule it enough in advance. And I know, like, for example, in Fairfax, the last several years, I've actually made a presentation at the town hall that's very similar to the one that will be made the night of the formal public hearing, although slightly expurgated because we keep in mostly only the things that directly affect that jurisdiction. I'm happy to do that, but if you need me to do it, please let me know so that I can put it on my calendar. And that's all I have. So, any other items, business to come before the authority this evening? Mr. Silverthorne, he's got an election in 4 days. 5 days?
4 or 5 days, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you got to get out of here.
One of the holdovers for the May elections.
Oh, yeah. Best luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
If there's nothing else to come before the chamber, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.